Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host, Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. We both got glasses on today, which is
a lot of staring at the computer today and tonight. So
yeah, it's interesting. Trying to
protect my eyes so I don't have a headache.
And we're also going to talk briefly about the academic baseball world. So I think it's fitting that we're both wearing some spectacles.
We'll look studious.
So today's topic, and we'll cover this one quickly, but I do think it needs to be talked about. I've talked to a bunch of higher academic coaches recently, and this is the topic that keeps coming up. And I think there's a little bit of a misconception of how it works with the high academic schools, specifically like the elite academic schools, the Ivy League schools, you know, the GWs, the Richmonds, the Georgetowns, the NESCACs of the world. And there's this idea that these coaches go out and look for really smart players, when in actuality, they're looking for really talented players who happen to be smart. And I think that there's a little bit of a misconception around that if you're a really good student, that those that you automatically are in the mix to play in the Ivy League or play at a Davidson or a George Washington or something like that, where when you talk to these coaches, and it's a world that me and you have both been in at RPI and at William and Mary and at Vassar, that first and foremost, we're looking for guys who are good enough to play for us. And then we're going to circle back to make sure that they check the boxes from an academic perspective. And it's something that you have to do. But first and foremost, just because you have good grades doesn't qualify you to play at a certain level. You need to meet the prerequisite talent expectation for those particular schools. And that's going to vary a little bit depending on where you are. But I think it needs to be said, because I think that there is this idea that, well, I'm a really good student, so I must be able to play in the Ivy League. And I just don't think that's really the case.
No, it's the case for all of academic baseball. And, you know, it's been said on here, I'll continue to say it, you know, because it's not something that is mine. I didn't come up with it. I stole this from Carl. You know, but the academic world, they're looking for guys who are smart, who are baseball players. They're not looking for people who are smart, who happen to play baseball. You know, it's the reverse. They're looking for baseball players that happen to be smart, because you're going to have to be able to check the box from an athletic standpoint. And then we'll go down the academic route that way. Obviously, if I know that the academics are going to be an issue, then, you know, even if you check the boxes athletically, and that's where it ends. But there, you know, and when you're at the higher end academic levels, like, you know, that tends to be a lot more prevalent in your immediate area, right? Like, you're going to see a lot more of your local games, and you're going to know a lot of those teams and those coaches and the kids. Like, you're going to have a pretty good idea of where kids are academically in your area. You know, so people used to call me and say, hey, have you seen so-and-so? And I'd be like, I haven't seen him in a while. Well, why not? Like, well, because he's got a 2.7 and a 950. Like, he can't get into RPI. I'm not wasting my time to go watch that kid play. Like, yeah, he's really good, but like, I have other kids that I need to see, you know. So it's in your local area, it's a lot easier to kind of be able to parse through that stuff. But by and large, you're looking for baseball players that happen to be smart, not just because you have good grades that, you know, Columbia or Penn or anyone else in the Ivies or the, you know, the RPIs, the URs and the NESCACs of the world are going to come knocking just because you're smart. Like, you still have to be able to play at a super high level to be able to be recruited at those schools.
Yeah. I mean, when we talk to these coaches, and I think this is some context for kind of how that conversation goes, is that, you know, if I'm going to send something to one of the Ivy League coaches that we know, I'm going to send them video of a player and get their feedback on, like, hey, does this guy check any of the boxes that you're looking for? Is he positional fit? Do you like the way the kid moves? Like, how do you feel about him? And if they give me the thumbs up on that, then comes, well, all right, here's this transcript. Can you guys work with this? And that's really how it starts. Like, if I send a transcript over to Coach Beretti at Columbia he might give me the thumbs up, but if the kid's not good enough, it doesn't really matter. So it's still the talent first, and then you sort out. And that's why I think a lot of academic coaches rely on their network and rely on guys that have an idea of what it takes to get in there, because they can parse through some of that on their own. Like, you know, we're not sending a kid with a 3.1 GPA over to, you know, name whatever Ivy League school just because we think he's a good player. Like, we have a pretty good idea of, hey, this kid's in the ballpark. If they like him, this is worth their due diligence from an academic perspective. And I think, you know, that's an important context from a communication standpoint on kind of what we do.
Yeah, and I think that it's, you know, are Ivy League schools and good academic institutions going to take kids that have great grades? Like, yeah, they are. That happens. But there's going to be, you know, it likely, like we've talked about in other programs, like there's probably a caveat to it. Like, if you can get into school on your own, like, we'll give you a shot to make the team or something of that nature. And, you know, that's where I think like the misconception comes of like, well, if you have good enough grades, like we can get you in there. Or, you know, I've seen guys who have these grades get into these schools. Like, yeah, but that's like, you still have to be able to play baseball at a high level. Like, you go top to bottom in a lot of the academic world with a lot of the rosters, like they have a lot of really good players. I mean, Columbia until last week, and I don't know when this is going to be released, so it's May 6th. Like, they are, I mean, they're smashing baseballs. They're leading the country in doubles per game. And last I looked, they were like 8 doubles off the actual lead in the country, having played like 10 less games. They're just smashing baseballs right now. So like, you still have to be able, and I know that we, you know, we're using Columbia and honestly, the reason that we are is because they're first in the Ivy League right now. But like, you still have to be able to go play and be successful in those programs in order to be recruited there. Like, having the grades is obviously a prereq and everyone knows that, but just because you have the grades doesn't mean you get recruited at the schools that you want to be academically. You still have to be able to do it athletically. And that's where the separator comes, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of guys who can play who have the grades, but not everyone can play Division I baseball. Not everyone can play Division III baseball. Like, it just, it depends. And like, that's what separates guys out from being recruited and not being recruited. Not necessarily the grades. The grades just leave open more doors longer in the long run for you.
Yeah. And we've talked about this. So I think it's worth kind of putting putting this topic to rest too, is that getting really good grades keeps doors open for you. That's another really important thing, is that you don't remove those schools from the list. So we're not getting at the lack of importance of the academic piece. I want to make sure that that's not getting misconstrued, that we're leaving out the academic portion and the importance of it, but the recognition of it, that it starts with talent and then the academics get evaluated. That's really the important takeaway from this. And getting really good grades is going to keep a lot of those doors open. And may it open up an opportunity where you get into a school on their own and they have a roster spot for you? Yeah, absolutely. But in order to get into that small portion of students who get supported through the application process at these schools, whether it's an Ivy League or an NESCAC or a University of Rochester or Case Western, where most of those guys are getting supported through the academic cycle, if you can get out on your own, obviously that might create an opportunity at a school that you really like, but it's not going to get you in the mix with those supported athletes. And we've spoken about this, that it's very, very exclusive to get on that list. Most of these Ivy League schools only get to support, you know, 7 to 10 kids, depending on which program in any particular year. And, you know, that's a really small, but you're talking 70 kids who get to go play in the Ivy League every year. That's a really small portion of college baseball. I would say that it's rather competitive.
Incredibly small. And we've talked about this before, and it's the last, you know, we can move on from this subject, but like the playing in the Ivy League is one of the most exclusive leagues to play college baseball in. Because to your point, they get 7 to 10 kids per class per year. So, you know, that you're looking at 70-ish kids a year, 70 to 80, going into the Ivy League every year. So, you know, it's a rather exclusive thing, a league to play in, not only from an academic standpoint, obviously, but from an athletic one. And that's why you have to be able to check the box athletically. And then we'll go down the grades part the second time around.
Well said. I think that wraps up that. Understand the process, understand how it works. It's important. It's incredibly valuable for you if you're a high academic student or a parent of a high academic student to understand how this process works. Got to be good enough first. So hope you learned something. Thanks for listening. We'll check in with you next week. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMD Baseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on emdbaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.